I'd like to read in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And verse 13. Matthew 5, verse 13. This is part of the famous Sermon on the Mount. And the Lord Jesus says, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle, put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." In Matthew's gospel, the king calls his loyal subjects, or at least those who were professing, and they gather around him here on this mountain. It is interesting that there was another man who went up from a mountain, and he got to speak, and the Lord spoke to him face to face. That was Moses. And if you want a little study, compare the two times. The Lord Jesus going on a mountain, and Moses going on a mountain. It's very interesting. But here he's now going to speak to them, and I'd like to speak to you about what he spoke to me and to them about, and that is the subject of your influence. Your influence. You see, he describes the world around these disciples, and he doesn't actually use the words, but you can get the inference and the implication of it all pretty easily. Where do you shine a light? Thank you. You're awake. There's one person, a little slow, but we got there. Yeah, very good. Thank you. And where would you use salt? And the answer is not on tacos, okay? Well, you could, because it does give flavor, and that could be involved here from the other Gospels. It may have that implication more. But one of the things that salt was used for...
Michigan.
Oh, yes, that's right. I forgot where we are. That's right. Well, that kind of ruined my sermon. Well, let me go to Bible times. They did snow back then, but what it was used for was to stop corruption in meat. So you kill an animal, you take the meat. They did not have freezers and fridge, so you cover it in salt, and that would be something that they would use it for. Why does he say, "You are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world"? Obvious. You wouldn't shine a light into a room like this. Wouldn't be necessary, because there's light. The world is a very dark place, and the world is a very corrupt place. And the Lord Jesus is going to send these disciples, and they're going to live in this world just like you do. Never forget, there's a lot of fun. I'm back on my old thing again. There's a lot of fun things in our world. There are, and I enjoy them. And there are some noble things. But never forget the conditions of the world around you. You are going to have an influence, or you should, in a world that's not just a notch off of Christianity. It is a world that is corrupt to the core. Society is corrupt. Not just third world countries. It is corrupt, and it's going to become worse. Corruption is a downward process. And it's dark. They know nothing of God by themselves. And so that's their condition. Now, let me come to the character. Therefore, he says, you, in that world, are going to be salt. No, he doesn't say you're going to be. He says you are. If you are saved, you are salt. That means you being in the world, you have a preservative effect on the world around you. You say, I don't know how that works. Well, that's what God's plan is, that you have a positive preserving effect. And not only that, preservation, but illumination. That through you, people will come to see things that they can't see naturally. And what I mean by that, spiritual truths. So that you are God's, you are light, and you are salt. That's your character. Now, I want to come to how this all works. What would happen if we shut the lights off and we turn the lights on in the basement? It would still be dark in here. What would happen if I killed a squirrel and I held the squirrel up here for 17 days and in this hand I held a bag of salt? What would happen to that meat? It would rot very quickly. Why? Well, I have salt. Be the same principle. And that is the principle of contact. You must have contact with light into darkness for it to do any good. And you must have contact for salt on what is corrupt for it to have any effect. This world is so wicked, sometimes you just want to go away and just live in a 24/7, 365 of the year conference. Be great, wouldn't it? Never have to deal with those people again. Amen. And we live off the Jackson people providing meals for us. Amen. But you see, that's not what the purpose is. The Lord says, I don't want you to just live off in some place away. He said, I have made you and saved you, and I am going to have you have contact with a corrupt world. And if you don't have contact with them, you will not be effective as salt and light. Now the next point is this. What do you notice? If there's light, that's because the world is dark. And if there's corruption, salt is different. So now I learned the contrast. You can't have a half a light, and you can't have half salt. We're going to come to that in just a minute. You must maintain your distinct character. You see where this is going? Disciples, if you lose your distinctive character as my disciples, you will no longer be effective as salt and no longer be effective as light. So that brings me, and I'm moving quickly because I know you're tired, to the calamity. Here's the calamity. The Lord Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor. Now, it's not so much that the salt has lost its flavor. It's the salt has lost... Well, you say, well, salt is salt. It can't lose its properties, all you chemistry people. It can't really lose its properties. It's still salt. How do you get that it's no longer effective so that they take it and they throw it under feet, and that's not throw it under your feet so it melts the ice? It's you throw it on down. It's not good. You just trample on it. Why? Well, in those times, in those that part of the world, salt that would often come out of the Dead Sea, when it comes out and they have it, one of the things, its saltiness can be, it's ineffective because there's impurities that are in it. Bitumen and other impurities get in there and it's no longer mixed in with it all. And so you get a handful and it's just not as effective anymore. Is there anybody here, and please don't put your hand up, that so far in 2014, you have lost your savor? Because into your life have come impurities. Things that are not helping you in your Christian testimony. And you are ineffective salt. Your testimony has no effect on anybody around you. And what do they do with it? Throw it on the ground. Trod on top of it. Useless. You see the calamity that can happen if you allow impurities to come into your life. But it's not only that. He goes on, and actually I saw really, I don't know, maybe you wouldn't get as excited about it as I would, but I got to see a picture, an actual picture of a lamp. You say, you must be really bored in Arizona. You get excited about a lamp. No, but this was a picture, I think they found, when it says here, you're the light of the world, city that's set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel and put it on a candlestick. And in this picture, well, there were three pictures. I got to see a candle, I got to see a candlestick, and I got to see a bushel. Now, I was picturing a candle like a wax candle. And I was picturing a candlestick, you know, the little thing that comes out like that, and there was a candle in each. And then I was picturing a bushel, bushel apples, you know, a bushel, bushel, you put the bushel. And I was wrong on all three. You see, the picture that I saw was first of all, of a lamp, it actually looked like a gravy boat. Because you put the oil in it, and then there's a wick, that you could put a wick out the end of it, and the oil would keep it burning. And so they light that. And then you pick up the gravy boat, and you take it over, and it had like a lampstand, it had like shelves on it. And you put that up there, right up there, like that. Okay? So what he says is, first of all, he says, a light. You light up a city. It's all lit up. Maybe you could come to the city of Nazareth, where the Lord Jesus was from, and it used to be lit up because he was living there. And you come up, and why would you light up a city and then somehow, you don't light it so it can be hid. You light it so that when you're traveling, you can see it. Ah, that's where I'm going. It makes it really clear. And you don't take a light. Take one of these lights and you light it. And instead of putting it on the candlestick, you don't put it on the ground. And then you get a bushel. It's called a peck measure. That's the actual idea. And that was the size of it. And it was taken like a metal container. And you light the thing and you put it on top of it. Good. Now he says, not good. He says, that's not what it's for. See what the calamity here is? You wouldn't light up a city so it could be hid. If it's hid, there's something impeding that light. And if you light a lamp and you don't put it up on the lampstand, instead of that, you put it on the ground or wherever it is, and you put a bushel, a peck measure over the top of it, now something is impeding its effectiveness. The Lord Jesus is warning. He says, the calamity for every believer is this. Impurities could come into your life and ruin your effectiveness as salt. Or something could become into your life that would impede your effectiveness as to enlighten and illuminate the world around you. Anybody here walking around with a bushel on your head? You follow me? Not literally. Is there anybody here that's concerned before God about the lack of effectiveness in your testimony at school? Why nobody ever asks you? Why nobody ever... You've never seen anybody saved? Nobody ever asks you? Is it because there's things that are impeding? Or is it because there are impurities? You see, what brought this to my attention was not only my study of it, as I mentioned to it, what brought it to my attention was in dealing, trying to help a person, lives a long way from here, but this person was very concerned because she was trying to reach her family, is trying to reach her family. Her family is not saved. It's very difficult for her. And she asked Michelle and I, why is it that none of her family seems to want to come to meeting or be interested or anything? So we said, well, what do you do to try and reach it? She said, what I try and do is I go to all the parties that the family has and I dance with them and I drink one drink. I limit myself to one alcoholic beverage because I don't want them to think I'm weird. And I'm trying to gain their confidence so that they will be interested in the gospel. She said, it doesn't seem to be working. Anybody try? Maybe. Don't go the beverage route, please. And don't go the dance route. Testimony-wise, it will never work. Now, being weird doesn't work. The principle here is, he says, you're salt. Be very careful that you don't have this calamity of impurities that ruin your effectiveness. Things that impede helping people to reach spiritual understanding. Now he closes with a challenge. And so he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Pharisees did all kinds of good things. Why did they do it? They wanted to hear the praise of men. Remember? Take their money. They would wait until it's maximum. It was rush hour at the temple. Toss the coins in. Everybody would see. And they would pray on the street corners. Get everybody to see them, praise them. He says, that's not what I'm talking about. He says, I'm talking about you living out the principles of the kingdom. And people will be watching by your example. And as a result of that, it will produce effects of preservation like salt and illumination like light. And people will glorify, not you. Actually, he has just talked to them about persecution. They may persecute you. But there will be those who will come to glorify your God, your Father, which is in the heavens. Wouldn't it be something? Just to give you a little challenge as you leave tonight. To just maybe make it your prayer before you end your day. It is now we're halfway through the second month of the year. You still have several months left in the school year, for those of you in school. Why not ask God to help you identify any impurities, things that don't go with your character, and anything that's impeding you to keep your distinction, to fulfill your purpose, and let your good works, just living out truth. Wouldn't it be wonderful if I sat down and this thing quit bothering me? Wouldn't it be wonderful if you got to see somebody just to stand and listen to somebody from your class glorify God, the Father in the heavens? It's possible. Your responsibility is to be salt and light. May God help you. May God help me that we will keep this character and honor the King, our Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we pray?